Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Tejas Networks Q2 FY23 earnings conference call hosted by ICICI Securities. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Bhupendra Tiwary from ICICI Securities. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Andrew. Good evening, everyone. On behalf of ICICI Securities, we welcome you to Q2 FY23 results conference call of Tejas Networks Limited. The company is represented by Mr. Sanjay Nayak, who's CEO and Managing Director, Mr. Arnob Roy, who's COO and Whole-time Director, Mr. Venkatesh Jadhia, who's CFO, and Dr. Kumar N. Sivarajan, who's CTO. We'll begin with the opening comment by the management, post which we'll take up the Q&A session. Over to you, Sanjay.
Thank you, Bhupendra, and first of all, wish you all a very happy Diwali, and thank you for joining the earnings call of Tejas Networks. We have uploaded the presentation that I'm going to walk through on our website and in other places. I hope you have the chance to either download it or follow it as we discuss. I'm on the first slide, which is the key updates of the quarter. In terms of the financial update, our net revenues for the quarter were 220 crores. Profit after tax was marginally profitable at 1 crores. Our cash and cash equivalents are at 1,402 crores with no debt. Order book at the end of Q2 has increased to 1,455 crores, which is an all-time high for our company. In terms of key highlights, we had a very strong Q2 bookings and lot of new wins. We had 481 crores worth of new order wins across optical products both in India and outside of India. We're also very happy to say that we introduced our wireless products at the India Mobile Congress. Our 4G and 5G products, the outlook is looking quite strong. We believe we have a very good opportunity to get large-scale wins starting from India. We also see that there's a lot of push by Government of India to create a indigenous telecom ecosystem, and we believe that we have a very good opportunity to take advantage of the supportive policies of government, both in India as well as outside of India. Supply chain performance and component shortages was something that has been impacting our revenues in the past. While I would say that the things have started to improve, but the global component situation, chip situation, especially for certain kind of components, is still not that good. However, as I mentioned in my last earnings call, we have taken some very proactive internal actions in terms of re-engineering our processes, IT systems, tools, and so on and so forth. As a result of that, we are starting to see good results coming out. We've crossed the 200 crores per quarter revenue after a gap of about 10 or 11 quarters. We do expect that, and as a result, not only have our revenues improved, we also saw improvement in our gross margins. We do expect that, as the year progresses, we should see a continued improvement in the second half of the year in terms of revenue performance as well. There's another important thing, which is the design-led PLI incentive scheme, which was launched during the quarter by the Government of India Telecom Department. We had earlier been approved for the PLI scheme for telecom products. This new design-led scheme is a very innovative scheme where all the investments that are made in R&D, which are capital in nature, including salaries and manpower cost, can be counted as investments for the PLI policy. Given that, and given our potential for much higher revenues in the future, we have reapplied under this new policy, which is available to us, and increased the size of our PLI and commitments, which has a fairly large potential for higher incentives. In addition, the design-led PLI gives 1% extra incentive if you're a R&D-led company like ourselves. We have been increasing our R&D headcount and operations headcount quite substantially in line with the growth that we expect going forward. As a result, for the first time in the history of the company, our total employee strength has crossed 1,000 employees as a total. As you're aware, we have acquired Saankhya Labs, and between Saankhya Labs and ourselves, we now have a patent portfolio of 434 patents. I'm on the next slide, which is continuing with the corporate highlights of Q2. So the integration of Sankhya Labs is on track. We had earlier acquired 64.4% of Sankhya Labs in July 2022. And for the balance, 35.6%, we have filed for amalgamation of Sankhya Labs and Sankhya Strategic with Tejas through the NCLT process as on 30th of September. What we have already done is we have integrated the R&D teams between Sankhya and Tejas. And the focus of Sankhya R&D team now is to strengthen and accelerate the development programs for 5G, radios, cellular broadcasts, satellite communication, and other areas like semiconductor chip design. And in addition, Sankhya Labs, before the acquisition, was also having R&D services for external clients. We believe that the value of the team and the capabilities that exist in Sankhya are far more valuable and better utilized if we use them for our in-house product development and acceleration of the opportunity that we see in the market. So we would be reducing the focus of Sankhya Labs for external contract R&D and increasing the focus more on in-house acceleration and in-house development of products for which we see large market opportunity. There was India Mobile Congress in New Delhi a few weeks back, which was inaugurated by the Prime Minister, and the 5G was launched in the country. During that Congress, we showcased end-to-end portfolio for indigenous products. Some of you might have had an opportunity to be in Delhi and see those, but I can tell you that the kind of product portfolio, the kind of live demos and the capabilities that we showed from hardware to software to chips and to technology domains across wireless, optical and satellite was possibly the best that was available in the country. We of course were very heartened and honored that the Prime Minister himself visited us and spent significant time understanding all the products and technologies that are available with us. We also showed live demonstration of our 5G radios, which are required in the bands, which has been auctioned in India. So we have the 5G radio products, as well as some very new innovative technology like direct-to-mobile, which is one of the latest technologies that is getting standardized in the world, and we are having a lot of IPR from the Sankhya Lab portfolio there as well. And the icing on the cake was that we won the best designed and made in India telecom innovation for our TDF-1400, which is a very unique product which we have been talking about for some time, which can give both, and it can become a base station, it can become a GPON box, and it can, of course, become a transport product, all from the same hardware and configurable software and configuration. And recently, we were again, the same product was given the best product by Indian Electronics and Semiconductor Association for contribution to India's ESDM sector. So all I can say is that from a technology angle, from a business angle, we are investing and we are confident that what we have created and the direction in which we are going sets us up quite well for executing and scaling up the company to much larger level going forward. The next set of slides, which are a little bit more details about the financials, I'll request Venkatesh Gadiyar to walk us through those, and then I'll come back again into the presentation.
Thank you, Sanjay. Good evening, everyone. This is on the financial update. Q2 revenues were 219.9 crores, which we saw a year-on-year increase of 27.3%, and on a half-yearly basis, around 9% growth. And while we had a loss on EBITDA of 4.3 crores for a quarter, we had seen the profitability in terms of PBT and PAT. We had a PBT profit of 10.9 crores and a PAT of 1.1 crores. And EPS of 7.5. And above Q2 figures includes Sankhya. For example, the Sankhya revenue of 13.9 crores of Q2 has been included in the revenue. Similarly, EBIT includes Sankhya EBIT of loss of 5.7 crores and the PBT and PAT of Sankhya for 5.3 crores in Q2 23. Loss of Q2 23. Key financial indicators. We had a cash outflow of from operations of 71 crores, and net worth has been improved to 2,548 crores, and there was an increase in the inventory to 399 crores as of 30th of September. Inventory has been increased since we could not ship out the complete or unbalanced in systems to fulfill the customer's order due to the critical component shortages. And hopefully we expect to consume these inventories in second half of the this fiscal year. And trade receivables were at 380 crores, and we have collected rupees 201 crores during Q2. And the working capital has been increased by 100 crores, and primarily due to the increase in the inventory level. Our cash position as of September 30th is 1,402 crores. This includes, after making a cash investment of 284 crores for acquiring the 64.5% stake. And with our healthy cash position of 1,402 crores, we are in a well position to execute larger opportunities to scale up our business. And also, I would like to inform you that this quarter we had turned into the profitability. With this, I will hand over to Sanjana.
Thanks, Venkatesh. I'm on the next slide, which gives you the breakup of where our sales is coming from. So as we have been doing in the past, we look at the trend line in terms of the total of last year and year to date, which is the first half of the current year, in terms of how the different segments of our business are performing. So if you really see the run rate business, which is a combination of India private plus international, contributed to 80% of the revenue for the first half of the year, out of which the India government was total of 20% of the first half, which represented a year-on-year growth of 66.7%. India private was 51% of the first half and a year-on-year growth of 35.5%. We do expect that going forward, given all the things that are happening in India in terms of investment as well as, you know, favorable environment for domestic companies, we expect that the growth in India will continue to be at a significant pace for our business as well. International was a total of 29% of the total for first half, which on an absolute basis is a decline of around 30%. So we did around 101 crores of international for first half versus 200 crores for the whole year last year. So we do expect that as the second half happens, and given the backlog situation of more than 187 crores that we have for international, we should see improvement on the international revenues for the second half of the year as well. In terms of the breakup of the backlog that we have of 1,455 crores, India backlog is 1,268 crores, and international backlog is 187 crores of total. I'll go to the next slide. It's just again a recap of all the different segments of the business or the technology that we are playing into. If you see the chart on the right-hand side, is all the wireline and optical products that we've been having for a while. The DWDM category of our products continues to do extremely well. We are winning a lot of business in India and outside of India as well. The broadband access, which is the GPON portfolio, again, has been doing very well for us. And the product that you see on the left-hand side just above the star is our flagship product, the Ultra Converged Broadband Access, which is the same product that we had earlier used for other applications, and now is also being used as a 4G and 5G base station going forward. And this is the product that we have been trialing in various networks. So, and on the left-hand side, if you now see that we have, you know, a 4G radio product, we have a 5G product, which is both ORAN as well as the normal compliance, as well as we have products on the satellite IoT and direct-to-mobile broadcasting, which come from the Sankhya Lab portfolio, along with the software-defined radio chipset that they have. So as a result, if you see the richness of our product portfolio from radio to wireless to optical is very rich. The challenge for us is to continue to make sure that we invest and make sure that these products are technically as good as they get in the world, but more importantly, start generating large business opportunities for the technology and products that we have created, and which is where we are seeing benefit. Last part of this technology I wanted to also talk about is the secured Ethernet switches, which are used in smart cities, safe city, and other applications, and which again is a part of the business which is a fragmented business in terms of distribution, but it is, you know, starting to aggregate and become reasonably meaningful business, mostly from the Indian customers, which are non-telco customers within the country. Coming to the next slide, which is the summary slide for me, and then we will, of course, open it up to questions because I would like to give more time for that. If I look at it from where we stand, our Q2 performance improved on the revenues and margins. We crossed 200 crore revenue threshold after a while, and we expect that we have now, you know, finally got a very good handle on supply chain, and we believe with, you know, our own internal processes and systems as well as overall global outlook for supply chain starting to look better, we expect that second half revenue starting from Q3 onwards would continue to see improvement, and we should continue to see more revenue, you know, better revenue performance going forward. Order book is excellent at 1455 crores, and in addition, which is primarily on our wireline products, our wireless products which we launched recently for the 4G and 5G will start, you know, generating reasonably meaningful revenues and bookings going forward. We have fairly good visibility to some of the larger orders, and we hope that with those backlogs also coming in the near term, we should have a very strong order book to be able to have predictable execution going forward from future quarters as well. On the product side, we are again very proud and confident that our products are world-class, they're award-winning, and the successful demonstration of a truly indigenous 5G technology with all kind of features and capabilities during the IMC, and the customer response that we got from the stakeholders who visited us there has been very encouraging, and we believe that now we are well set to become a both wireline as well as a wireless company. We continue to make significant investments in R&D as well as in manufacturing operations because while we can get the orders, we also need to make sure that we can execute them you know, effectively. And I think we have been investing a lot into upgrading all our systems, processes, capabilities, and we are confident that as the business comes, we should be able to scale up our revenues and manufacturing operations as well. The integration of Sankhya Labs is progressing well. They have a very capable team of people and products, and our objective is to take the best advantage of synergizing what they have and what we have together and really build a very, very robust product business going forward. And as Venkatesh had said earlier, our cash position is solid. We are confident that we have the capabilities and now the balance sheet to execute large orders and scale up our business, which is what we've been lining up to do over the last 12 to 18 months. That's really where I'll pause, and thank you for understanding the details of our business. And now we will open up for questions for the rest of the part of this hour.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question, press star and one on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question comes from the line of Pratap Maliwal from Mount Intra Finance. Please go ahead.
Hi, and thanks for taking my question. So I just had a question on the BSNL 4G deal update. So there were reports that the TCS was on the final stages of closing a deal with BSNL for the 4G network. The reported figures to be around the $2 billion range. So could we just get an update here on the timeline of orders and what progress we're making here?
So I think as you've been mentioning, we have been a part of that consortium. We have made very good progress in terms of all aspects of the deal, in terms of technology, proving, as well as making sure that it's a commercially viable deal. And the process is on, and we do expect that sometime during the current quarter, all of those things should go in the right direction.
So, sir, can we reasonably infer that maybe in this current quarter, Q3, we should start getting some orders for that particular deal?
It's very difficult to predict anything from the government, but all I can say that anything that has to be done from our side in terms of enabling this business, whether it's from a product readiness or a commercial viability, has been done. And the process is on, and we do hope that we would get an opportunity to close that business at the earliest.
Okay, sure, sir. And regarding the order book, so how much of the order book do we have for the execution in the remainder of FY23, as I believe the seasonality kicks in and the later part of the year is seasonally better for us. So how much of the order book would we be executing in the remainder of FY23?
Yeah. So typically, as you know, we have a fairly heavy second half compared to the first half. In different years, it's been 35-65 or 40-60 between first half and second half. So I think similar this year, where the second half was strong second half. What I talked about earlier in terms of getting a much better hand in terms of supply chain, in terms of planning, processing, and internal tools, we do expect that the second half would be strong. So from the order book that we have, anywhere around 40% or so, we would like to, we are subject to, of course, supply chain issues not coming in the way. And if we actually are able to manage that well, the kind of number that I mentioned should be possible. From a customer angle, there's a lot of demand for our products, and the soonest we can produce and deliver is something that they would like. We have taken quite a while back. The challenge in the supply chain, just since we are on that topic, is that while certain parts of the component industry are expected to come back to normal starting from next year, parts still may have a slightly longer lead time. And unfortunately, in our industry, for example, in our company, we use 800 parts. And even if one part, one component, or one chip gets delayed, so we have taken all the actions. We do expect a fairly strong second half, in line with what has been now being very, very bigger compared to first half. But we still would have to be carefully watching and making sure the situation is managed or doesn't go out of what we think it should be in terms of improvement and so on.
Okay, understood. And just one final question, if I may. The India order book, as I understand, it's 12683. So can we maybe break that up into India private and India government, the order book, India?
So usually, we do not break up the order book by customer segments. We break it up by international. But what I can tell you is that within the India order book, just to give you the sense of the kind of delivery timeline or pressure that we have on the two aspects of the order book, the international order book, we typically will have to execute much faster because customers would require those equipment sooner. A significant part of the India order book is more in the form of, say, for example, projects in the critical infrastructure segment, like we had announced a deal for Power Grid. So now Power Grid, when the power lines are set up or when the networks are get set up, they are more like infrastructural execution projects which have a slightly longer duration. So the India order book, I would say, will get executed over a slightly larger duration of time. The India private gets executed quite quickly. The India government takes a little bit more time to execute. The international order book is, ideally speaking, if we have the material, they would want it from us immediately. So I think this is how the blend of the delivery of the order book would come into play. India private, as we said, continues to be a strong segment for us, as I mentioned in my commentary earlier. India government is, of course, we have a good backlog and a lot of funnel for new business as well. And basis which is what I was saying, that going forward, even with a larger base, India government would continue to accelerate. And international on an absolute basis will continue to, of course, increase. But as a percentage, because if India is going to grow at a much faster pace, we will still have a mix where India business will dominate the overall.
Okay, sir. Thank you. I'll get back in with you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of NGN Puranik from Enam. Please go ahead.
Hi, Sanjay. Nice to know that you have showcased a 5G radio. It's good to hear an Indian company doing all this. Can you give a sense of how you are going to productionize this, monetize this? What's the path to glory in this? How will you, what are the steps forward?
Certainly, Puranik, first of all, thanks for your words. Really appreciate it. So in fact, just to give you a little bit of thought process and the strategy for building the 5G business, one good thing which Tejas has, which is a very, very big head start, and is that a lot of the technology that we have developed whether it is for wireline, which is optical, or 4G or 5G, is all integrated. So we actually have a product where in the same box or same shelf which you saw the picture earlier, you could make it as a base station, which could be 4G, 5G, or you could use an optical. So the good part for us is that the incumbency that we have, we have shipped more than 700,000-800,000 of our systems worldwide. So the incumbency that we have allows us to upgrade some of these networks with newer technology that we introduce. So the game plan for wireless is
perhaps marginal effort?
With marginal effort. And that is why, if you see the product portfolio that I displayed on my chart, to create a product portfolio of wireline, wireless, and radio, and I would encourage you to look at even the biggest names in the world in the telecom OEM industry, probably one or two companies, maybe one from China and one from Europe, might have the same range of product that we have. So that gives you a direct confidence that the efficiency of our R&D processes and systems and maturity is very good. But then comes back to how do you commercialize this and how do you make a good business out of it. So one is that we can upgrade a lot of our products for newer technology. Our game plan in wireless is to make sure that we initially get a very large beachhead account for 4G, and 4G still has long legs and a lot of business is there. And 5G will be a seamless upgrade on the existing product architecture that we have. So the incumbency that we will now, so we take the incumbency of our wireline and optical business to get our feet wet into the wireless business, and the incumbency of wireless starting from 4G will be used to leverage that we seamlessly upgrade to 5G. So from a customer experience, this migration becomes very easy. The maturity of technology, the products which have been field hardened for 15 years, run the same software, code base. So those are the benefits which we get. In fact, the use case for 5G around the world is using 4G as an anchor. So the networks which have done that is to use a 4G anchor, put 5G on top, look at the markets where 5G has the highest potential, look at the bands where the 5G is going to give the maximum bang for the buck, and go and upgrade those things seamlessly on a pay-as-you-grow basis. So I think our architecture allows us. So our game plan is in the next 15 months, which is now till end of next calendar year, we will be focusing more on building this 4G anchor base in India, upgrading it to 5G in India, maybe in multiple accounts, and then start engaging during the middle of the year with international customers. And we have a lot of inbound inquiries from customers in Europe in particular who are looking to find an alternate to some of the incumbent suppliers from certain countries whom they would like to replace with new suppliers, not just with the guys that you're used to from Europe. So actually we have a quote-unquote vacuum to fill in certain markets, and it's our ability to scale up and engage with them and be able to supply them equipment in their labs and in their field, which is coming the way. So we're taking a step-by-step approach, mature the products in India, get your supply chain up, get the products into right shape, size, and competitiveness, then, go outside of India. The opportunities are large, and we believe that this way, we really leverage all the stuff that we have done and really make a good business out of it, rather than just building products and then not being able to sell them commercially.
So you are now ready with both 4G and 5G?
Absolutely.
Uh-huh. And the 5G has happened with incremental effort?
5G, the significant part of the 5G comes from the Sankhya Labs acquisition. They have been working on 5G for quite some time. So we took their technology and their engineers, and we're all working as one team. If you look at the radio architectures, we have really converged, so that a lot of the hardening and a lot of the productization which has happened for the 4G radios that were already in play, along with the 5G technology and all the different frequencies and different modes of working of Sankhya, we are able to accelerate the two together, which individually would have taken a lot more time. So really taking advantage of the best that we have from both sides and accelerating the 5G.
So the TCS BSNL deal is extremely critical to both 4G and 5G today for you.
Yes, any anchor customer of this size is very, very important for a company like ours, because it just gets us into a step function increase in terms of capabilities as well as deployment opportunities and, of course, revenues.
And your own share of economics in this deal will be how much?
Typically, RAN is a fairly large portion of a network. So as you can see, because that's a very large amount of field deployments, every site or cell site could potentially have radio the one or two bands or three bands at times. So it's a fairly large opportunity and a very significant opportunity to scale up our company in terms of supply chain capabilities, you know, finances and everything else.
So in a 2,000 crore deal, you will get a share of what? 50%, 60% or more?
That, I think, let the deal happen and then we'll, of course, have
the
share.
Let the deal happen, yeah. Now, I wish the deal happened. That's very critical to for India and for you, and the, both on the 4G and 5G. That's very important. I have another question. You know, about you mentioned a very interesting number that you have 400 IPs combined, you and Sankhya combined, 400 IPs. I think you are an IP company. Very few IP companies of your stature. But what I want to understand is, see, what happens is generally most of the IP companies work on product innovation, new ideas and all that. But they get lost on the monetization route, on the route to economics. So I want to understand this 400 IPs, the character of this 400 IPs, potential of this 400 IPs. In fact, last time also I asked you about how many of them are production IP, sales IP, process IP, defense IP, and which will, for example, if you can explain through for the 4G and 5G creation, how many of these IPs are deployed? If you can give some sense of the power of these IPs, you know, it will get an understanding when they are going to get monetized.
Yeah. So first of all, the good part about our company is that we just don't create IPs for the sake of creating IPs or filing patents. The best part is we actually productize them. So if I look at the total IP portfolio, it is spread across optical products, Ethernet products, 4G, 5G, and even 5G Advanced, which is going to be a part of 6G. Some of the IPR also pertains to that because some of the new things which are coming, those standards are being contributed by our teams here in India, from India, right? And in fact, even there's a lot of talk that finally, for the first time, India is actually contributing to global standards and correspondingly filing the IP. So I think we have a whole spectrum of IP which is across these four domains that I mentioned, which is optical, Ethernet, and 4G and 5G, and onwards. Now, what we do is all the product that we create, so everything that we build, for example, a transmission box or a 4G radio or a 5G radio or a broadcast to a direct-to-broadcast radio and so on. So there's a lot of our IP are actually, is of course, embedded into it. So as such, we are not in the business of selling the IP or licensing the IP to anybody else. It is more for use in our own products so that we get a differentiation to begin with. And secondly, as you also mentioned, part of this patent is also defensive in nature because we also need to make sure that we have a reasonable portfolio of IP with us so that, at any point in time, we always have a situation that we can have a fair negotiation with anybody. So I would say it's a combination of all of that. Our interest in the IP is to really make products which are world-class, make products which are, really meaningful and differentiated to the customer, and at the same time also protect some of the unique ways of things that we've done.
And you're saying there is a method in the creation of these IP. They have a direction. They have their own proprietary stature in the portfolio. They can add value. There is none of these IPs are redundant. If when you do an IP audit, perhaps you will know. If you give some sense of that, that will be useful.
Yeah, we have not done a formal IP audit, but just as I said, just to maybe highlight that some of the IP that Sankhya has been creating is actually going into a 6G standard, let's say, right? So that gives you the sense of the importance of that IP, right? In terms of how would you do a broadcast 5G application in a certain way, let's say, right? So those are all things which are extremely valuable. They will be productized in the form that it will be meaningfully useful for a customer to do something new, do something in a different or a clever way, give a differentiation to a product. So that's what our focus is. And really, as I said, productization of the R&D or the intellectual talent that we have in the company is something that really is what we focus on. Versus, just creating a portfolio and, licensing it to someone else. In that sense, we are, actually just to give the same point, like Sankhya earlier, we used to do a lot of R&D services work, very, very complex R&D services work for you know, certain kind of customers who would love to get stuff done by Sankhya. We believe that the talent and the capabilities are better utilized for accelerating our own products, you know, and getting that kind of service revenue is not that meaningful for us. If you were a services company, absolutely. But if you're a product company, we see a lot of business opportunities. We see a lot of things that if we had this product yesterday, we could sell it. So we would rather put all our engineers and all our talent in that direction rather than in the short term, you know, maximizing our revenues and, you know, providing services to someone else.
So if you have to pitch yourself for an international opportunity, Europe or US, how do you, for a large deal, how do you pitch it? Is it different from how do you do it for an Indian company?
So clearly, I think depends on the market and depends on the dynamics of the customers. So I think one of the things I would like to highlight here is that over the past, you know, 2 years, there's a lot of geopolitical situation which has changed in the world. So earlier on, if you were a new equipment provider, you know, one of the questions someone would ask is, how are you better than company A from country A or company B from, you know, country, you know, wherever else, right? And the onus of proving that you are far better than either on cost or feature or performance or technology was on you, right? Now, there's a slightly different conversation, which is, I have to replace, you know, equipment from vendor A or B, and I do not want to go to the same set of people who were there before, and I want to get competition. And if they look around in the world, probably we appear to be one of the best set of people or set of products. They can give them that confidence and comfort that not only is this product good enough that it has worked against global competition in India, it has been won at Indian price points, and this company continues to do well. And the fact that now we are a part of the Tata Group and have all the, you know, other, you know, benefits of the group companies, the confidence and the trust is much higher. So I really feel that in that sense, when now, as you ask, the narrative, when we start attacking international deals of the larger kind, is really that we are a very credible alternative to the whole ecosystem, which is 4G, 5G transmission or whatever, than what was earlier. And if you see some of the commentary that even at a national level from India, which is being, said by leaders in our country, that for the first time, India now actually has 4G and 5G products which are world class, and we want to not just become an importer of telecom products, but become an export hub. So I think that just kind of gives you a sense that the opportunity is coming from different corners and for different reasons. And the fact that we have had success in India is a very good benchmark of confidence, because every global player and everybody watches what's happening in India, and our success in India is always considered highly valuable, and we do get instant credibility. Where we were handicapped earlier was lack of brand on international markets, lack of local support, lack of a comfort that you guys will be around 5 or 10 years from today. But with the partnership of the Tata Group, I don't think any more relevant. Of course, we want to mature our products, especially the newer ones, like I mentioned, on 4G and 5G in India, before we go for an all-out things internationally, which is what a prudent thing to do given the complexity of this technology.
Excellent. One last question on business economics, the bread and butter livelihood question. When do you think you will get back to 15-20% operating margin, which typically a power of IP company? How soon?
So what we would like to compare ourselves out in the medium term would be the try to become among the best in class among telecom equipment companies worldwide. You know, because our comparison with the IT services company may not be the right comparison, because the market and the profit dynamics are slightly different.
Yeah, I'm comparing an IP company.
IP company, yes. So if I look at a product, global telecom OEM, our target is that in medium term, we should become among the most profitable, and in the long term, not only should we have very large revenue in terms of global market share, we should possibly be the best in class, because with an Indian R&D cost advantage, with a large home market that we have, which of course in the local market your sales costs are lower, the fact that in India, if you win and you fine-tune your processes, systems, product, you can make a lot of margins when you go outside of India, are all positive. So I would say what we are thinking right now is, rather than optimizing and getting to this profit target in the next 1 or 2 quarters,
correct,
invest for the next short period of time, I would say. Get the scale, get the size, get the credibility, and after that, it's very, very straightforward, because if you can make X percentage of profit in India, you sell outside of India, you can add 10 to 20 points. And I think that's something which we have done it before. And our goal today is to really make sure that we build the company for long term. We build processes, systems, people, talent, manufacturing, cost optimization, so that everything that we do in India is A plus. And that success will really leapfrog us in a very short period of time when we go internationally, rather than trying to diffuse our resources and optimizing in the near term.
Absolutely. Now that's what I was asking. I'm asking you, 2 years down the line, will you be a 25-30% margin company?
I would say the numbers, but 2 years down the line, we should be definitely among the better run telecom equipment companies in the world.
Correct, because with the power of your IP, you should be a lot more profitable than the rest.
And then the fact that a lot of it is done from India, which is, we never took advantage as a country to do a lot more R&D for a lot less, and which is all evident in what we've already done and what we will be doing. So I think all those basic elements which you articulated are all right. The reality of that comes with scale. Scale is what we need to get sooner than later, and we're focusing to make that happen. So I think if we just play the thing in the right sequence, we are very confident that we will deliver what the potential of the company and country in a larger sense, since you mentioned that it's important for India to now become a big player in this new ecosystem. I think we feel that we have the best shot to do that.
Wonderful, Sanjay. Thank you. All the best to you and your company, and happy Diwali.
Thank you, Pranik.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Vimal Gohil from Alchemy Capital Management Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Firstly, it's good to see quarterly improvement in your revenues, even excluding Sanchi. So congratulations on that improvement. I joined the call a bit late, so please pardon me if I am making you repeat something. Sir, just on your profitability, I mean, you had guided that some of your fixed cost agreements which you have signed, which are already present in your order book, are already at higher raw material levels, are at higher cost levels. So that could have an impact on the margins going forward, is what you had indicated last quarter. But it certainly seems that you have sort of turned the tables around in this quarter, despite Sankhya having a loss of about 5 crores on the operating level. So just wanted to get a sense on what has led to this positive surprise, if at all, if you feel so. And second question was on your international revenues. We have seen a bit of softness. Is it what would you attribute that to? Yeah, these are my two questions.
No, fair enough, but I did not answer this question, so you didn't miss anything. On the first question, yes, you're absolutely right that some of the rupee-denominated contracts in India were fixed price, and, given this, component cost increases and all that, we did have a challenge. The product mix in the last quarter was a little bit more favorable to us in terms of things where we could get certain costs down or get cost reduction, or maybe the margin on those specific deals that we had signed or the things. I wouldn't have the exact pulse in terms of what were the one or two deals that actually made it happen. But broader base, I think we did, do better in terms of improving the margins. One other thing related, since we are on the topic of margins, one thing which we also are trying to do is that as we line up for executing at a much larger scale, and I'm again very happy to say that a lot of the global chip suppliers are treating us far more seriously than they would have treated us a year back, let's say, right? Because they do see that, what I mentioned earlier, that if in a few years' time there could be a new global OEM which could be emerging, which could potentially, be a large-scale company, we have a very good shot at being that company. And if that is the case, those chip suppliers are also giving us strategic pricing, strategic delivery timelines, not as good as we would like today, because they still are handicapped by, their supply chain shortages in terms of fab capacity and so on. But the way things are unraveling, especially in the last 2 weeks, how some of the geopolitical developments have happened, we have reasons to believe that, the supply chain situation in terms of chip supplies can potentially only improve from the levels that things are. including some of the pressure on pricing can release. But of course, all of that will take time to unravel. So that's one part on the margin side. Second question you had was on the international side. So as you saw, we have a backlog of more than 150 odd crores or 180 crores on the international side. It's again a situation where we, especially for international customers, because in India, Indian customers, suppose you have to ship X number of systems, you could ship some percentage of X in lot one and you can do some percentage in lot two. But in international customers of different kinds, they would prefer all of that equipment to be delivered in a certain certain way. In which case, if you have any kind of imbalanced inventory, I would not be able to ship it to them. So I would say that during this quarter, it was just a function of what were the customers that we had to give priority, what are the things we could manufacture and complete as systems. But as I mentioned earlier, going forward, on an absolute basis, at least international performance in the second half will be better. But as a percentage, if India continues to grow at a very fast pace, either this year as well as next year, as a percentage, of course, international will be lower. And our target is that, we are taking one step at a time and get to scale using the volumes of the home market in India. While, all the engagements in terms of lab price and other stuff is, the critical customers internationally we will continue to do. But I must also highlight that our existing customer base continues to do well. That is the reason the run rate accounts from various international geographies like Africa, Southeast Asia, and so on and so forth continue to give us good revenues. But developing Europe and US, which can give us significantly larger revenues, will be something that will take a little bit more of time. And given just the priorities, given the amount of opportunities available in front of us, starting from India on larger deals, we just have to make sure that we do a good balance and don't ignore the home market just because it's home market. I think it's a very valuable home market and we wanted to take the best advantage of it.
Understood, sir. That's great to hear. So basically, what I would, the short takeaway would be that going forward, there would be sequential, the sequential improvement that you are showing will sort of continue. Would my assumption be right in terms of top line and profitability?
Top line, definitely. We believe that with all the action that we have taken internally and the external situation seeming to improve, we definitely do believe that the top line situation will continue to improve over the next few quarters. And as scale catches up with us, we also believe that we should start getting better control on our margin and pricing. And again, I would say it would not happen overnight, but the trend definitely looks very positive and upwards for us. And of course, our objective is to make sure that, larger deals, of course, come with their own set of challenges. And you want to make sure that we are ready to execute, because scaling up and getting to the right size and getting to the right capabilities and, provenness is very, very crucial, because that really propels us into the larger league if we can execute these near-term opportunities very well.
Understood. Sir, another one on Sankhya. Again, I'm not sure if you've addressed this, but just on profitability, what is the outlook there? While you have indicated in the presentation that the integration is on, but are you as confident in Sankhya that Sankhya will be able to be profitable as Tejas is going forward?
So I think I mentioned in the context of Sankhya integration that the focus for Sankhya is not, Sankhya had two businesses before we acquired them. One was services business, very high-end R&D services that they were doing in addition to including their own IP in those services for clients, abroad, right, or in India, wherever. And that was a reasonably profitable business for Sankhya. And the second thing Sankhya was doing was developing their own products, which, once your own product, you have a lot more potential. So what we have taken a conscious decision is that we want to focus on the second activity a lot more. You would rather take the outstanding talent and the capabilities and use them for not just Sankhya products, but all the 5G stuff that, for example, we talked about. A lot of the 5G heavy lifting from the capabilities came from the Sankhya team. So rather than, focusing on the profitability of Sankhya, we are now looking at Tejas plus Sankhya as one team, one entity, and really creating a portfolio of products and prioritizing the R&D in areas where we see maximum possibilities of revenue scale-up and profitability scale-up going forward. So we are kind of doing a Tejas plus Sankhya optimization rather than Tejas optimization alone and Sankhya optimization alone. I hope that answers your question.
Right. And so lastly, some media reports indicate that, you know, we are sort of front runners for the large BSNL deal, along with, of course, along with TCS. So just to understand this, a bit better, the receivables with BSNL that will happen while you are executing this project, how will this get classified? Will TCS be will we provide our services to TCS and then TCS takes the receivables on our behalf, or will it work the way it used to before? Because our historical experience has been that execution of these contracts have sort of stretched our balance sheet a bit in which I'm sure you agree, which has happened in the past. So what are we doing so that does not repeat going forward when we execute the BSNL contract?
So first of all, let me tell you that at least whatever we can do from our side as stages to be successful in winning large deals, we are doing, and as I mentioned earlier, whether it's technical or I think we are playing our part well, and I am confident that at least everything that should be done from our side is being done. In terms of the media reports, we also read the same media that you do. So I guess when the things actually fructify, we'll all know it. So that's the second part. Coming to the third part in terms of the financials and the receivables from BSNL, all I must tell you is that the good news is, BSNL is a very well-capitalized company right now. They have been given, I believe from the media report that I've seen, close to 160,000 crores worth of support from the government of India, which is, including, significant amount of cash infusion. So I think as an operator, BSNL is a fairly healthy solid customer. So I don't think we need to worry about that part of it in terms of, the receivables. Second thing, I must tell you that over the years, we've had a fairly good and detailed working experience of how to work with not just BSNL but any other PSU operator or even private operator or anybody else in terms of making sure that we follow their processes and systems to the T, because the better you do at that, the lesser the chance of any financial, receivables or anything adding up. The problem comes when the company is financially not solid, which was a case of BSNL in the past. But going forward with the kind of government support they've got, we being much more experienced in terms of processes and systems, we working with other consortium partners who are quite matured and experienced in handling large projects, and the government's intent overall to make sure that we create a vibrant and healthy ecosystem from India, which not just does well in India but does well around the world for India. I think all of those things make us far more confident that we will be disciplined about execution, and we will make sure that profits and whatever financial gains that are got are all done and actually realized. And so we will be using all our experience and all the knowledge to make sure that we execute well on these larger opportunities as and when they cook for us.
Great, sir. Thank you so much for your detailed answers, and all the very best for the future.
Thank you. We are almost out of time, but if there is one last question since we didn't announce, I'll be happy to take that.
Thank you. The last question comes from the line of Suprata Sarkar from Mount Intra Finance Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hello. This is just a follow-up question, sir. Like, as per whatever product we have, like we have 5G NSA product right now, not SA product. As we are all aware, like largest Indian operator telcos has announced for SA kind of 5G setup. So in this context, like how would we fit in, or comment on that, sir?
I would actually, I have the pleasure of Dr. Kumar Shivrajan, our CTO. So I think between SA and NSA, as you mentioned, I'll request Kumar to give his views on that.
Sure.
Our 5G product will support both SA and NSA, okay? And the our 4G, which is deployed, will be able to work with our 5G in NSA mode. So we are supporting both modes of operation depending on the choice of the operator.
And in addition, by the way, the 5G product that we have architected is also going to be compliant to the kind of thing that Kumar spoke, but in addition, even if it's an O-RAN architecture, we'll be compliant to that as well. So in that sense, we'll be fairly agnostic to the deployment scenario and standard scenario that an operator may choose. And that gives us the flexibility to be in larger number of opportunities than we would have otherwise done if we were bottled into a particular architecture or a particular way of implementation alone. I hope that answers the question.
Yeah, perfect. Thank you.
Okay, great. So thank you. We appreciate you all taking the time just before Diwali and as I said, this quarter has been a good quarter in terms of getting the momentum in the right direction. The order inflow is good. The order book is very healthy. That is for the wireline part, which gives us confidence that all the work we have done over the years is very, very impactful and getting good. On top of that, the wireless business is coming as a nice add-on business, and we see good signs of larger opportunities closing. The supply chain and the operation that we have taken a lot of active role in terms of, you know, fine-tuning and fixing the systems and processes is all coming together, which showed in terms of the Q2 performance. And as we mentioned earlier, going forward, we expect to continue to see improvement in those directions. So overall, I feel as a company, we are all, you know, committed in making sure that we look at the medium and long-term picture, do all the right things, and in the short term, make sure that the execution continues to improve so that the company, you know, starts realizing the full potential that they've been working for so many years. So thank you. I wish you all and your families a very, very happy Diwali and enjoy the upcoming holidays. Thanks again.
Thank you. On behalf of ICICI Securities, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.